First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. It's a pleasure and an honor and a challenge to do talk radio under such circumstances. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we all grieve and mourn this profound loss to our country. And the world is feeling it too. And what happens next is a fight against good and evil. It doesn't mean good is always good, but if you're striving for good instead of evil, it can certainly be better than those who are actively pursuing evil. Here to continue our conversation in a variety of ways is Michael Letts, who we know and a friend of the program, CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests that has aided agencies internationally. Michael has earned the Congressional Gold Medal Award for Community Service, and as well he deserves it, has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement, currently chaplain with several agencies, as well as the state constable for the state of South Carolina. Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us. I'm glad they've updated your bio so we can know more about you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Karen. I appreciate you. Appreciate what you do. I'm laughing at the updated bio. Not sure that anybody cares, but I'm honored that
we care. We care who we're talking to, and we also care about the good work you do at Invest USA with the hatred, hostility directed at law enforcement. Very much the same kind of hatred and ugly violence directed at Charlie Kirk. You do a magnificent service for our law enforcement officers. This suspect hated ICE. He hated, there's evidence that he clearly was into the whole trans terrorist thing. We're learning more. I'm going to give you a broad berth to get your thoughts and what you can offer as a person in law enforcement, what you're watching currently, because it is a obviously an ongoing story that has spurred amazing things on both sides, both sides of good and evil, as I said before.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. Charlie was a good friend and certainly a good role model of an example of courage standing for the truth. That having been said, let's quickly take a look, because we could spend hours doing this. Quickly take a look at an overview. Initially, it was said that we had a suspect. Of course, Mr. Robinson is in custody, and that he had basically had connections or had beliefs that were contrary to Charlie's and his shot and killed him. That's the narrative they're pushing. But I don't buy that narrative. When you take a look at the complexity of the issue, take a look at the complexity of the shot. That was a professional sniper shot, 200 yards at a 30-degree angle you with a hunting rifle going underneath a tent, and you have no calculations for wind drift, ordinance or a number of other factors that have to go into making that shot. You only get one shot. It certainly looks like all the other things that have been hidden in the past, from JFK to Butler with Trump. And so we're now just beginning to get some more information that's coming out, not public yet, but there have been substantial contributions. The donations or money given to Mr. Robinson by foreign groups. And we're investigating that very quickly. It appears that this is certainly another assassination attempt on America's conservative movement and its values. My concern is there is some of this appears to be related to a foreign entity that we have dealt with in the past, Mossad, which is Israel's intelligence agency. So we're going to have to do a lot more further investigation. Why am I mentioning this, Karen? Because I don't want us to move. I'm not suggesting that, oh, here's the what really happened. What I am saying is that we have way too many questions.
Michael, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there. You're entitled to speculate all you want, and I'm glad to hear your thoughts. I want to know what your evidence is, not only that it was a professional hit, which it may well have been. Why do you mention the Mossad as so many people go directly to that? What's your evidence? The Mossad was blamed for Epstein. The Mossad is usually blamed for almost anything. If you want to speculate on Israel being behind this, I'd like you to set out some facts and evidence to do that.
Well, quite frankly, let's make sure we distinguish here. We're not blaming the people of Israel. We love the people of Israel. There are, Mossad has.
Wait a minute. Who's we? Is that you personally or who?
I believe the American people. I believe the administration. I believe all of America loves the people of Israel.
I don't think that's true, but let's set that aside for a moment. I get this a lot from conservatives, not a lot, but some, who are quick to blame the Mossad with absolutely no evidence, or at least to even mention it in the same breath as the murder of Charlie Kirk. So go ahead. I'm going to listen to what you have to say.
Well, we base it off of this. When you take a look at the intel reports that we have received from our intelligence agencies, many of which are still classified, which have not been released, we have a strong relationship with Mossad. That's an impositive. We demonstrated that with the bombing and the coordination work that was done with the nuclear facilities in Iran. However, we also have in those intel reports considerable information that ties into Epstein as well. Epstein did not do this on his own. Epstein, I think it's very clear for the American people, why would you invest in an organization for
Epstein. Let's find out why in the world. Talk to us from a layman's point of view. Why in the world would the Mossad, that has a positive relationship with Donald Trump and others, want to kill a guy like Charlie Kirk? Why? Israel?
What is Charlie Kirk's most recent last 30 days discussions been? They've been critical of
critical
Israel.
Of what?
Critical of Israel's role in Gaza, critical of Israel's role with a question about the genocide. And I don't.
Are you sure about that? Are you absolutely sure about that? Have you, watched
go back
and
in
seen?
And listen to his, yes, you can go in and listen to some of his debates that he's had on TV. And he questions that. He doesn't. The question becomes, Karen.
So just questioning Israel politics means that Israel is a suspect in assassinating Charlie Kirk. That is quite a stretch.
Does it make them a suspect? It raises question as to whether that has been investigated, where the funding is coming from, et cetera.
Are you aware, Michael? This is the first time we've ever had a conversation like this, and it's fine because, well, it's heated. We are on the side of fierce debate. We don't advocate violence when we disagree. We know the difference. Okay, so I'm passionate about this. However, are you aware of the level of support Charlie Kirk has given to Israel and the Jewish people?
Yes,
he loves Israel and the Jewish people. And I defy you to supply that, oh, suddenly he was critical, and that's reason for Israel and the Mossad to take him out? I mean, that's absurd, Michael.
I think, Karen, you're carrying it further than what I've been stipulating. What I'm saying
you
is
mentioned
because
it,
of those questions.
You mentioned
yes,
it. And you know what? This... Wait, before you continue, this is what I hear from a certain segment of conservative Christians who don't like Israel or Jews. That's what I hear. It's the Mossad.
Certainly not on my side. Certainly
all right.
Not on
so
my side.
I don't get it.
What I am saying, but Karen,
go ahead.
Here's where you're missing the point, is questions have been raised. They deserve to be investigated. And either proven false, which I believe they would be, or substantiation is gathered and further investigation required. That's law enforcement.
So allegations would be proven false, but you still feel comfortable bringing it up?
First of all, they need to be investigated. It's already been brought up.
Michael, Karen. I'm sorry. We have to leave it there. I wish we could talk further. Michael Letts, we will be back after this on The Alan Nathan Show.
Each day, more than 1,000 children across the world are diagnosed with cancer. And despite it being the leading cause of death by disease among children in the United States, many of today's standard treatments were approved more than 30 years ago. That's exactly why Northwestern Mutual has made it our mission to bring attention to this cause. We declare September 4th as Golden Moments Day, a day of national recognition across the United States to honor stories of resilience, community impact, and breakthroughs in research and treatments that will light the way to a brighter future. To reinforce our commitment, for each new financial plan delivered to prospective clients in September, the Northwestern Mutual Foundation will donate $100 to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, up to $2 million. That would fund 40,000 hours of research. But there is still work to be done. Help us make a lasting impact this September. I invite you to join us in our mission to find better treatments and cures for childhood cancer. Visit NorthwesternMutual.com to find an advisor near you.
Burgers and hot dogs may headline the grill, but baked beans are making a strong showing at summer cookouts. Chef James Brissione has more.
Baked beans are incredibly versatile. I use them in hamburger bakes, layer them into hot dogs with cheese, and even stuff them into grilled chili rellenos. They bring big flavor with little effort.
Chef's Chili Relleno recipe starts with poblano peppers stuffed with Bush's vegetarian baked beans, onions, jalapenos, and red bell pepper. For something heartier, hamburger baked beans combine seasoned ground beef with Bush's original baked beans.
That Chili Relleno dish is one of my favorites. It's easy to prep, great for vegetarian or gluten-free guests, and the beans add that smoky, savory bite that works with anything else on the plate.
Another go-to for feeding a crowd is baked bean and cheese hot dogs, made with Bush's brown sugar hickory baked beans, onions, and cheddar. Bush's baked beans varieties include original, brown sugar hickory, vegetarian, zero sugar added, and more. Visit bushbeans.com.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't, thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over a million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas from national parks to remote trails. King of Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
Some seizures may go unnoticed, but the stories of people with epilepsy will not. Share your story to educate others.
To empower others to seek treatment.
To show others they are not alone.
To help others change their journey.
Let's get everyone to start talking about epilepsy and seizures.
I am ready to share my story.
I'm ready to share my story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
For more information, visit changeourstory.org.
But they did not appear out of a vacuum. They were sent here by the president with words such as a cry to fight like hell. Words matter. Truth matters. Accountability matters.
People don't have any intention of saying something that's going to lead to something dangerous, but we cannot take responsibility for the minds that are out there and how they hear it.
Wow. That is a great clip. Nancy Pelosi then, Nancy Pelosi now. They should be ashamed, but I don't think they have the decency to be ashamed. This is Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network. Happy to have with us next Judd Dunning, co-creator of Bullet Point Nation. He is host of Unapologetic, co-host of Bullet Point Nation, a producer, a columnist with Newsmax, author working on the upcoming 13 and a half reasons to love America, how to stop the angry woke left and preserve the America we love. Nothing is more apropos right now. Judd, thank you for being with us on the Alan Nathan Show.
Well, thank you so much. And good to be with you again. I've been with you on other networks. Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
I am fired up. I'm fired up. You wrote such a good article. I haven't had time to read it all. It was given to me at the last minute. You know, oh, here's this article. I mean, it's so important. Unapologetic with Judd Dunning. Where is it? I don't have the right one.
That is the new cool. You can't gun America down. I am Charlie Kirk. Yes, it was worth it, and it has been for over 234 years. And that's on my WordPress blog, and it's coming out on Newsmax in a shorter version later today.
You can't gun America down. Say more about that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the first responses, I knew Charlie. I stalked him down when he was originally – he came out. I was like, what? Someone's talking to college kids. I was brainwashed at Colorado State, just completely brainwashed. And I came to Hollywood. You know, I converted at 9/11, wrote my book, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal and How to Enlighten Others. And, you know, ended up doing this, you know, TV tours and radios and our show on AM 790. And from the very beginning, before all that, when I was at my real estate shop, I said, I have to see this kid. And at the time – I didn't write big political checks, and I didn't really stalk people down to find it, but I was like, I have to meet this person. I went down to Newport. He had 50 people there, communism sucks t-shirts. I was like, who is this guy?
I remember that.
Yeah, and he was just such a bright light addressing the biggest hole, the place that you couldn't go. And this is when people are being canceled for even saying something non-PC. And so anyway, I had the honor of knowing him then, and then back at CPAC, I met him backstage and at Politicon and other events. And I have to say, generally the nicest, most sincere person. And, you know, he actually, one thing people don't know is even though he wasn't college educated, he would, because he got wealthy, he started having like people mentor him for pay. And Mark Levin was one of his mentors. And Mark Levin for me is my inner power animal. I mean, he's such a constitutionalist, you know, I mean,
that's funny.
I'm like 15% off of Tucker right now. You know, I'm like 15% off of Alex, you know. There's
15% off. What does that mean, Judd? What does that mean, 15%?
I'm aligned with all their conservative positions, but then I'll have my own rational pullback. You know, I mean, I think we're greater than parties.
You mean you don't agree with Tucker Carlson?
I said on most things. yeah. I think it's when the individual is more important than the message. You know, I mean, that's where we see a lot of people in any field, right? When the individual becomes more important than the message, and pivoting back to Charlie, you know, he was not. I saw him work with kids, and when he did it, he would never make them wrong. Like Ben Shapiro can really shame somebody, you know. Charlie didn't. He was like, hey, if this invites you back to your own belief system, are you thinking next person? Generally sounds, but I think the bigger thing that we're all settling with is that I think they assassinated a future president potential. And I think those
you're
are
not
the
only
cloud.
One who thinks that, Judd. You are not the only one. Of all the people on the public stage, he was the most likely to be absolute presidential material. And it's so heartbreaking on so many levels. I mean, in talk radio and whatever, we're always going to the next thing and we forget what a horrendous loss and tragedy. I don't think we've forgotten it, but it cannot be said enough. What a loss, what a tragedy. Look at how the whole world is responding. It makes me cry. And it is setting out this good against evil. You don't have to be Christian to appreciate that there is a difference between people who strive to be good and people who are striving to be bad, striving and elevating evil, elevating criminality, death, destruction. And one side that is holding themselves accountable and doing their best to hold others accountable. What a difference. What say you?
Absolutely. You know, I wrote, when I first wrote this article, and I focused on, I thought about, since I'm, you know, saying about how Charlie unlike others, was other, very other centered. I never felt his personality and his movement was more important than his message. And that's like, have issues. You know, it was very, very selfless. And I think his Christian principles were definitely intact there. I wrote the article about guns because I figured, hey, here's the first thing I saw on social media was this statement from the left. And if you'll remember this, when he went on, Charlie said, he said this, guns in the hands. Let me find this. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so we can honor the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given – we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That is a prudent deal. It is rational. It was probably the first thing I saw hitting the airwaves. Leftists saying, like, cold-hearted.
They went crazy about that.
Was it worth it?
And that's why they thought he deserved it.
Yeah.
They claim that's why. Yeah.
So dark, so unattainable, so unconscious. So I wrote the article about guns. And, you know, I went through that whole article. But I will say this, since we're on a short 9-minute hit here. People were calling me back. So why'd you go this way? I said, because the left would be burning down the nation right now if this was one of theirs.
Correct.
I said, particularly if they have another color. I said, what we're doing is we're rationally focusing on what's ahead of us, because that's what Charlie would have wanted, because we know it of his principles. But my sub note was, the real story is how he was a bulwark protecting an American family from Satanistic, culturally Marxist attack on our entire way of life. And he was doing a great job. He really
was
another line behind Trump. He was doing a fantastic job with our youth. And that's what they silenced.
Mm-hmm. He was murdered because he was so good at what he did. He was murdered because he made the terrible error of disagreeing. But we can say all day long, and we must. There are people who have written such important articles about some Republican pundits. Oh, I wish I could talk to you about this. I'm going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry. You know, who are mincing words and saying we all have to. No, there's one side who is doing most of it, and we have to start calling that out. That's not violence. That's just telling the truth and holding people accountable. Judd Dunning, can't wait to talk to you again. Bullet Point Nation, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. We're going to be right back with a really marvelous guest. Can't wait to tell you about him. We've had him before. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Ellen Nathan Show. Don't go away.
Tilly Ramsey, daughter of celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay, is ready to step out of her father's shadow into her own culinary adventures with the new series Dish It Out, premiering Friday, September 5th on Prime Video. A passionate foodie and aspiring chef, Tilly celebrates online trends and family recipes, alongside some surprise visitors in the kitchen, including her parents Gordon and Tana Ramsay, Gillian Jacobs, Frankie Grande, and many more. In each episode, Tilly receives a mystery box from chefs, influencers, and home cooks from around the world, and uses the ingredients to cook a dish for a studio guest. Tilly Ramsay.
I've sat next to my father in the kitchen for my entire life and wanted to become a chef for as long as I can remember. Now that I've graduated culinary school, I'm ready to sharpen my skills and create exciting new dishes for my guests, and will be sure to have plenty of fun along the way.
Don't miss Dish It Out starting this Friday, September 5th, only on Prime Video.
Summer has arrived, presenting great job opportunities within the travel industry. Pilot, the largest network of travel centers with nearly 900 locations across 44 states, is hiring 7,500 team members. With weekly pay, training, support, and competitive benefits, Pilot is committed to supporting its team and helping them make the most of their miles. Abby Bilbrey, field recruiter at Pilot, shares insights on the company's commitment to hiring as summer travelers hit the open road.
Pilot is hiring 7,500 team members called Journey Makers across our travel centers, on-site restaurants, and tanker fleet. We seek driven, reliable, authentic, and welcoming individuals to ensure our guests are fueled up, filled up, and lifted up for the road ahead. Join us to be part of a company that continues to show people they matter at every turn.
To learn more or to apply to become a journey maker, visit jobs.pilotflyingj.com/national hiring.
Six now. Calls that we receive from individuals who are specifically saying, I'll make sure I get this right, I have been terminated, I have been put on suspension by my job for things that I have said on my private social media account. First of all, I want you to think about those things. Private social media, they do not go hand in hand together. Some individuals have come to us and basically, let's say they're a teacher. and they are saying that, you know what, my school district has suspended me because I said, Charlie Kirk, he deserves to die. You teaching our kids? Or you work for an elected official and you want to put political things on your post and your elected official says, nah, bruh, you don't work here. South Carolina is a right-to-work state. When we talk about freedom of speech, you have the right to say whatever the hell you want, but people tend to forget you can say what you want. Our government is not going to arrest you for saying what you want. We're not going to kill you for saying what you want. However, your employer has the right to terminate you. They are two different things. People get confused on freedom of speech and freedom of consequences.
I love that. I love that. And so consequences are starting finally to come around. We've watched for so long and much more will happen. But I don't have time to talk about that right now because I have one of my very favorite guests, one of the best writers around, Daniel Greenfield, Israeli-born columnist who's a Shulman Journalism Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. May he rest in peace. His biweekly column can be read at Front Page Magazine. His blogs regularly appear with the Jewish Press and Canada Free Press. He has a column titled Western Front with Israel National News, and his op-eds have appeared at Fox Nation. Daniel Greenfield, welcome to the Ellen Nathan Show once again. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
Good to have you. I want to, I don't know if I should start with this or not, but I had a previous guest cite the Mossad in a possible professional hit of Charlie Kirk. And I went after him pretty hard. I didn't have all the evidence, but I wanted to push him to have some evidence. I'd like to give you the chance, and if you could say it succinctly, because there's so many important things, not just that, so many important things to talk about in this historic and horrible atrocity that was committed last week on the wonderful Charlie Kirk. You understand the question, right? Yes.
Yes. Okay. I mean, you know, it's part of a larger issue, which is that campuses have become absolutely impossible for anybody who is not a leftist, and leftists are now turning to violence, to terrorism, to suppress anybody who stands up to them. And I don't know why anybody would want to distract attention from that with this nonsense, because we should really be focusing on the left. We should be fighting the left. And when people start pushing this stuff, you know, they want to give the left a pass. And this is a major crisis. Mm. Charlie Kirk's death was probably the worst crime of this kind, but I've been watching this develop for 20 years. Even further back, it started with, you know, David Horowitz actually originally was speaking on campuses and he faced violence, he faced threats, he faced harassment. I remember about 10, 15 years ago, this began escalating to bomb threats. Then it began moving to attacks on actual faculty members and then on students. And now we actually have the first queer murder. And this is something that has developed into an actual terrorist network on college campuses. We should be talking about that instead. There are people who are out there trying to distract us from fighting the left.
Well, we most certainly are talking about that, but I'd like you to make maybe one more pass and a comment on something that I've found very disturbing in these very challenging times. Then we'll get back to Charlie Kirk. And that is, listeners, as a fill-in for Ellen Nathan, they know I'm Jewish, I'm proud of it, you're Jewish, you're proud of it. That doesn't mean that I excuse every Jew who says anything. I can't stand Jewish liberals. But nevertheless, we are champions of vigorous debate. What I have been aware of is a small but growing, I don't know if it's a cell or what it is, on the right, maybe funded by someone who wants to divide Christians and Jews under the banner of Republican. There's no secret that some Christians, our parents and grandparents were suspicious, that have old hostilities and tensions between Christians and Jews. Never should it be more important than today for Christians and Jews to stand together, respect their religious differences. And this the Tucker Carlsons and the ones who think immediately of Mossad and Israel every time something bad happens. I'd like you, who has the background in the history, to just comment on that, and then we'll move on.
Well, there is definitely a contingent of what people are calling a woke right. A lot of these people have similar beliefs to the woke left, kind of like the Nazis were an imitation of the communists. Yes, they hate Jews, they hate Israel, they also hate America. You have some of these people like Candace Owens talking about how the founding fathers were, and I quote, fake and gay. So these people tend to be opposed to America in general. And then you also have the Muslim contingent. There's been an extensive Islamic propaganda campaign, often using bots, using fake names and identities to plant this claim that the Mossad was behind it. We've traced back who this claim actually comes from. It comes from influencers operating out of Pakistan while pretending to be Americans. And on top of that, you've got Tucker Carlson. And before Tucker Carlson began talking about Israel a lot, and this show seems to be all about Israel, he began making extensive visits to Qatar, to Saudi Arabia, to Gulf countries, meeting with their leaders, doing interviews with them, attending the World Government Forum in Dubai. And then, after about months and months of doing interviews, including very fawning interviews with their leaders and talking about how Saudi Arabia, and I quote, is the future. I don't know why a medieval Islamist dictatorship is the future, but okay. He suddenly began bad-mouthing Israel. So, and I view that as really secondary, because it's quite clear that Tucker Carlson's business interests lie in the Muslim world. And as a result, like a lot of other people's business interests lie in the Muslim world, he promotes Muslim political agendas.
Yeah, I'm glad you've said it straight out, because the change in Tucker Carlson was dramatic and quick. It seemed drastic. Whenever you see that kind of change, you have to be suspicious. Let's go back, and thank you for that. I appreciate you commenting, as you always do. You are so prolific as a writer. Let's talk about how you felt. I mean, writers, you always talking in opinion, but how you felt and where you're at now with this unbelievable, historic, what appears to be a sea change after the assassination of a good man like Charlie Kirk.
It was not all that long ago that Charlie Kirk came to the memorial service for David Horowitz. Mm. And David Horowitz was somebody who was 86 years old. He'd gone through cancer for 25 years. It was understandable when we lost him. We had plenty of warning. There was absolutely no warning when we lost Charlie Kirk. And at 31 years old, it's a whole other story. And doing it through terrorism is, again, a whole other story. There seems to be a sea change, if you look around, the way people are thinking. But I'm not as optimistic that it's going to lead to lasting change, because there's a pattern of an immediate emotional response and then things fade away. So the question is really what we do to concretize that, to lock it in, whether that's really cracking down on the left, whether that's making sure that campuses cannot be spaces where this sort of thing is just going to happen. About a day before Charlie Kirk's murder, there was a report, a survey really from FIRE, which is an education group, of 58,000 college students in 257 campuses across the United States. About one in three of them said that it's okay to use violence to stop a speaker you oppose. A majority were okay with shouting down speakers they oppose, I believe 71%. Which means about 20,000 college students were okay with telling an interviewer that they are supportive of using violence to stop people they don't like from speaking. And if you generalize this across the country, we're talking about millions and millions of college students who are okay with using violence. And that's really the bigger issue. You know, much like with Muslim terrorism, there's a small percentage that actually does something. There's a much larger percentage that supports it. The real question is how many support it. I'm now writing about events in Manhattan, actually, at the Luigi Mangione trial, and there's just mobs out there cheering because first-degree murder charges and terrorism charges were dropped against the leftist who murdered a healthcare CEO in the middle of the street. So this is a larger leftist culture that supports assassination, that supports murder, and we have not seen the last of it. And we need to drive it out of college campuses because that is where it's coming from.
Couldn't have said it better. It also seems to be coming as the facts about the suspect come out. Many people have been watching with horror at this growing trans-terrorist type of movement. And luckily, Daniel Greenfield has agreed to stay with us for one more segment, help us close out this hour. So I will ask him that question when we return. And I just want to say that good, powerful voices, there's never been a better time for you and for all of us to speak up, speak out. And I really mean that. Everyone has a voice who can speak for good, decent constitutional principles. We'll be right back with Daniel Greenfield. Don't go away.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is known for affecting infants and young children. But the reality is that adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, are at increased risk for severe infection. Dr. Candace Robinson from GSK has more.
Because the immune system weakens with age, the risk of severe RSV increases for older adults. If you have certain chronic conditions such as heart disease, COPD, complicated diabetes, or asthma, you're at an increased risk of becoming severely ill from RSV. And RSV can also cause exacerbations of certain medical conditions.
Approximately 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized due to RSV annually.
The CDC recommends a single RSV vaccine dose for adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older to help protect against RSV.
For more information on RSV, talk to your local pharmacist and visit easyvax.com for more information about how to find vaccines available near you.
Research shows a continued decline in childhood vaccines over the past several school years. That and the resurgence of measles across the U.S. has put public health officials and family physicians on high alert. Medical professionals say it's understandable to have questions about vaccines, and if you do, ask. Dr. Diana Howard with the American Academy of Family Physicians.
Timely vaccinations are essential to protect families, neighbors, and loved ones, especially as the school year begins. Your family physician is a trusted place to get the answers and support you need when it comes to vaccines. The American Academy of Family Physicians wants you to know, vaccines work. They are safe, effective, and save lives. Family physicians can help you make sure the whole family is up to date on their vaccinations and protected from preventable diseases, especially before school starts. And it's understandable to have questions. Your doctor wants you to be an advocate for yourself and your loved ones. So take those questions to your next appointment.
For more information, visit familydoctor.org.
Clearly, we've lost the argument and a lot of the things we've really kind of really lost our connection with American voters. And I think we can't just be, well, Trump is always wrong or that we're going to set the country on fire. You always can't forget that a lot of Americans happen to disagree with you. That does not mean that they are fascists or now they want to shred the Constitution.
When you hear some Democrats saying Trump is acting like an autocrat.
If you actually compare him to an actual autocrat, that is not just that. Now, last night, for example, people were protesting about about, oh, that's the Hitler. You just don't ever compare anyone to Hitler and those kinds of extreme things. And now look what happened to Charlie Kirk. We have to turn the temperature down. We can't compare people to these kinds of figures in history. And this is not an autocrat. This is a product of a democratic election.
So you don't think that Trump is at all shattering any of the norms of democracy?
He's definitely different, but that's what America voted for. I don't agree with many of these things, but that does not make him an autocrat.
Oh, what interesting comments. One of those comments, the last one, was Senator John Fetterman, who we thought was mentally not all there after a stroke, and he's talking more truth and sense than a good many other politicians. We are going back to Daniel Greenfield, Israeli-born columnist, Shulman journalist, fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. You can find his work all over the place. And he writes a column called Western Front. Thanks for staying with us for this final segment of the Alan Nathan Show, Daniel Greenfield.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
You are a great pleasure. You are such a prolific writer. And you do a lot of valuable research. You come up with facts and information. You just don't spew opinion, which some of us in opinion journalism do. Talk about these two things that were uncovered yesterday, and there's much more to be uncovered, with a very disturbing trans terrorism movement. And then there was even something about the furries that we thought were crazy, but certainly not dangerous. What do you know, and what do you think about that?
Well, what some people are calling trans Antifa is, you know, the real question of why the left was promoting transgenderism in the first place. You know, what
exactly
was in it for them beyond creating a certain amount of chaos? Well, the goal is to radicalize people. You know, it's not really about men dressing up as women. The goal is to take people who are normal, drive them crazy, take people already crazy, drive them even crazier, and push them further and further toward the left. And that is the larger agenda here. So once you radicalize somebody in a sexual manner, so yes, we have, of course, the various transgender shooters. And, you know, you're talking about people whose delusions are being enabled, and who are on top of that being pumped full of medications that have all sorts of deleterious effects on their mental stability. So, you know, it's hard to get people who are going to commit violence in America, who are certainly going to kill people. But if you drive them crazy, and if you pick people who are crazy already, and then you radicalize them, well, they're much more likely to commit acts of violence, which is exactly what we are seeing here, and exactly what anybody would have known in the beginning. And now on top of that, yes, we have even more exotic sexual fetishes. We've already had the transgenders who are mainstreamed. The question is, what's going to be next? Is it going to be the so-called MAPS, minor attracted persons, which is the woke term for pedophiles? Is it going to be furries, which are people who, for sexual reasons, pretend to be animals? So we have a bit of a transgender furry connection in the case of Charlie Kirk's assassin or his boyfriend / girlfriend. And there's no real reason to belabor a lot of this, except that it really goes to the question of where are these people coming from? And this is where they're coming from. They're people who have been medicalized, people who have gone through the transgender, I mean, the people who have gone through the social media ringer, who have adopted all sorts of exotic identities, who are really very, very badly messed up. And those are exactly the kinds of people you draw on to become assassins.
Daniel, I am so glad that you are so candid in your thoughts. Many people are going to be horrified that you are as honest and direct as many people think but don't want to say. And you put your finger on it. That, I believe, agree, is why they were promoting this trans thing to begin with. They took something that was a teeny weeny tiny percentage. They turned it into a movement, a cult, a gang of people who found more social support among these aberrant people, that they were willing to cut off parts of their own anatomy than they did with their own families and teachers who were trained really to corrupt and include them and to make more of them. Why? It sadly is not accidental. And for you to put your finger on the deliberateness of this kind of evil and what kind of an ideology or mentality that would use as pawns children and gullible people to do their dirty work for them, I think this has to be front and center. And too many kind Republicans, Christian Republicans, are afraid to say it. Don't you think? Or do you think?
I think so. You know, we've been told over and over again that you have to be sensitive, you have to be kind. If you don't, you're responsible for these people committing suicide. You know what's actually responsible for the high suicide rate? Pumping these people full of drugs from a time when they're young children, castrating them, removing their breasts, forcibly transitioning them in ways that they are not told ahead of time how destructive that's going to be. And you know what else is not kind or compassionate or merciful? Forcing women and girls to have to share bathrooms, shower rooms, sports fields with men. None of that is kind or compassionate. The left's idea of kind or compassion is purely one way. It's a purely tactical, strategic move. Like right now, after Charlie Kirk's murder, they're calling for we should have unity right now. No, we should have unity is very nice. But, of course, when the shoe is on the other foot, they're not talking about unity. They're talking about vengeance.
Hmm. Yeah, well, and my friend John Zemirak, who was with us earlier, talks about anarcho-terrorism. It's I can do anything I want. Freedom for me, tyranny for thee. My rules don't apply to myself, only to you. Are you familiar with that term, anarcho-terrorism?
Yeah. Well, their goal is to spread chaos, destroy the current order in all areas, including the family, including society in general, of course, the government. But they're doing this with a purpose, which is to replace it entirely. If they're going to do their year zero, their tabula rasa, their start from the beginning, they have to destroy all our founding institutions and just the basic assumptions of life, including what is a man, what is a woman.
Yeah, we have to wrap it up. God willing that there will be good coming from this horrible evil. And we can pray that people who strive for good will unite together and hold people who strive for evil accountable. Thank you, Daniel Greenfield, for being with us. We so appreciate your time. Keep up the wonderful work that you do.
Thank you so much for a great conversation.
Thank you. Me too. Well, that does it. And my sentiments I just gave you in a closing. Thank you for tuning into The Ellen Nathan Show. We love having you every day. Be well.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.